Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Wham Theater is currently presenting the Northeast Regional premiere of Emily. La Marquise du Châtelet defends her life tonight by Lauren Gunderson as its fall production. Today she is best known for her 15-year liaison with Voltaire, which, you know, is pretty cool in and of itself, but Emily du Châtelet was more than a great man's mistress. She was one of the leading interpreters of modern physics in Europe, as well as a master of mathematics and linguistics during the Age of Enlightenment. The play runs on the Saint Germain stage at the Sydell and Lee Blatt Performing Arts Center in Pittsfield through November 24th. And Kristen von Ginhoven. Did I get that right?
You almost got that right.
Van Ginhoven.
Kristen Van Ginhoven.
We were doing a run-through before, and I got it wrong then, and I got it wrong now. She is Wham's artistic director and the director of Emily, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Kristen Van Ginhoven to the program. Thank you very much for being here, Kristen. It's a delight to have you.
Thanks for having us.
So what brought you to this work? And to premiere something that is somewhat out there, right?
Out there? An 18th century female physicist? I would say that's definitely pretty out there. Yeah, considering that the percentage of women physicists today is still pretty low.
Well, you know, and I was saying this just making a little joke in the introduction, but, you know, it seems as in writing a story or writing a play, you know, just the relationship with Voltaire is enough. Mm-hmm. But then you add all of this other stuff of this incredible background of this woman. It is an amazing history and something to explore and delve in a piece of theater.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation with the playwright about exactly that. There's a character like Voltaire that people have heard of, at least, and, you know, have varying degrees of knowledge with. And then there's this other woman who had these incredible accomplishments that we haven't heard of. And what a lot of people who came to see the play, it opened last weekend, and a lot of people are like, how come we didn't know about her? How come we don't know her story and what she accomplished? And of course, that's one of the things that drew us to the play, because there are so many extraordinary people throughout history whose stories haven't been told and haven't been shared. And so that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this particular play.
So how does it come on your radar that you think that it's out there?
Yeah, well, this play, my assistant Kelly Galvin and I were reading a lot of plays, and we were putting a lot of requests for playwrights to send us plays and other artistic directors. And Rachel May, who runs a theater company at Atlanta called Synchronicity Theater, she's the one who actually sent us the play. She sent us about 10 plays, including another play by Lauren Gunderson, which is sort of her hot play called Exit Pursued by a Bear. And we read that one, and we loved her voice as a playwright. Right. We were really interested in how she wrote and her technique of writing and how she told stories. So then Rachel sent us this play. And when both of us read it, you know, we got goosebumps reading the first page. And I loved how Lauren Gunderson told the story, but I also loved what the story was, you know, that it's this woman who has this quest for a scientific answer about squaring an equation, but she's balancing that with this search for why she exists. She's trying to tally her achievements in love through her relationship with her family and her relationship with Voltaire, as well as philosophy, which in the 18th century was the term for science, and she's tallying those achievements to try to assess her worth, you know, searching for this formula that will let her know if her life had an impact. The play has this really interesting framework. We call it the meta world, where time and space are giving Emily a second chance at defending her life, at finding this answer to what's the point? What's the point of why we exist? What's the point of her work? And I think we all deal with that search for why we exist, which is, you know, what I think why the play is really resonating with our audiences so far.
The other thing that is, I think, important to note is that I assume when you're going through plays that you know by now, you know what's right for your group, right? You know what you can do well. And when you see that that marriage could potentially take place, it must be exciting.
It's very exciting, especially because at this point, we're a four-year-old company. We're having our five-year anniversary next year, which is completely mind-boggling. So we only do one big production a year. So trying to find what that play is becomes really paramount in our choice for the season, you know, because we want it to be different enough to the year before in terms of style and story, but we also want it to be similar enough that it still appeals to our growing audience. So it is really exciting. And what's more exciting is when you have a creative team who is really interested in kind of pushing the boundaries of what's possible, even though our budget for the show is relatively small comparatively. You know, we had a production meeting where I was talking about, you know, in my dream world with a dream budget, you know, we'd have projections that could help us illuminate this meta world in various times throughout the play. And, you know, the sound designer and our production manager looked at each other and said, well, we can probably make that possible. So I feel like we all sort of rose to the occasion with this production and just, as somebody said at opening night, you know, just leapt as far as we could, leapt farther than we thought was possible and created something that we all think is really exciting.
You had a movement director.
We did, because there's a ton of transitions in the play. Because this framework is this time and space giving her a second chance, and we're sort of in this meta world, and then we go back into the memory world, the main character of Emily chooses particular scenes that she wants to revisit as she goes through this quest. And so there's a lot of scenes that happen in different locations, and the scenic designer and I worked hard to try to figure out what sort of set can we use that's going to allow for that much mobility in locations. And that means that the transitions become a part of the play.
Right.
You can't sort of go to blackout, change the set, show up in a Paris lab or a lab at a chateau or the opera or their bedroom, or, you know, you have to find a way to make that part of the style of the show. So having a movement director, which is very common in the United Kingdom, but less common here, became an essential ingredient.
The space itself, the Germain Theater, is the Saint Germain stage, I should say, is it's a wonderful space because it is terrifically intimate. It's very, I mean, you feel like you're sitting on the stage even you're in the audience, which I love. And there's a, and so you can really get into something like that. But I would think for you and the actors, there isn't a whole lot of room down there to like play around with.
Well, that was another concept that
you don't have extra room.
We don't have extra room, especially because the female actors are wearing, you know, 18th century costumes. So they have like
four feet wide
paniers and they're beautiful costumes that we've rented from Shakespeare and Company because our costume designer is the head of the shop there. We got extremely lucky with getting her on board. So we've had a lot of comments about how the stage seems really grand and really luxurious in terms of, you know, what we've used. We use these curtains as ways to move around, create these different locations. The scenic designer came up with this interesting way to show forced perspective. And the play, there's a lot about chalkboard. So there's this kind of overarching chalkboard theme to the show. So I agree with you, the audience, it's, you know, 100 seats. We've had really good turnout so far, and everybody feels involved in what's happening, and yet we have found a way to make the set seem grand and suit the sort of Age of Enlightenment feeling that pervades the play.
Tell us about the actors that you directed in this work.
Well, I am, of course, biased, but I think the actors are amazing. We have the leading lady is a woman named Kim Stauffer, who people know from Capital Rep. She played Catherine in Taming of the Shrew. And at Barrington Stage, she was in Streetcar Named Desire as Stella and Elizabeth Proctor at The Crucible at both Cap Rep and Barrington Stage. And as an anecdote, Taming of the Shrew was the first play I saw when my husband and I moved to the Berkshires in 2007. And I was wowed by her performance at that time and you know, never sort of anticipated I'd have the chance to work with her. But she now lives up in this area full time. So we were very lucky to have her audition. She was extremely excited about the opportunity to play this character. It's an enormous role, and she's just luminous. We've had a lot of comments about how perfect she is for this role. And she is across from her is a actor named Oliver Wadsworth, who local audiences also know from various things at Cap Rep. He's also done a lot of work in New York, and he's playing Voltaire. And they've worked together before. So even though we had a short rehearsal period, they have such a history together. They're friends. They've worked together as colleagues. So their chemistry on stage is really palpable right from the first day of rehearsal. They were having so much fun and having such delight in working together. And the same with the rest of the ensemble. There's a Connecticut-based actress named Suzanne Ancrum who's playing the soubrette. There's a concept in the play where Emily can't touch anybody. So she has to find a device, a way in which to revisit her past without her being able to actually do any of the parts that require her to touch anyone. Mm. So she comes up with this way of using this other character that the playwright has called the soubrette. And then rounding out the cast is an Albany actor named Brendan Cataldo and a actress who is based in the Berkshires but has done a lot of work in Albany named Joan Coombs, and who's also done some work at Shakespeare and Company. And they are incredible. They've worked extremely hard over the past 3 weeks. You know, we said one of the quotes that the main character says is that happiness is not having all the answers, it's having the time and space to wonder. And we sort of had that as our mantra throughout the three-week rehearsal period, that we didn't want the ticking clock of opening night to sort of overshadow the fact that we got the opportunity to have 3 weeks with each other in this material and to tell this story.
Well, Wham Theater's production of Emily, La Marquise du Châtelet Defends Her Life Tonight, runs on the St. Germain stage in the Saddell and Lee Blatt Performing Arts Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, through November 24th. And you can find out more information by going to WAM, that's W-A-M, whamtheater.com, whamtheater.com. Kristen, thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck with the continuation of the run. I give our best to the entire crew, and thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thanks for having us on. Thanks, Joe.
A delight. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information by going to whamtheater.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.